The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Flypod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the author of his brand new book, Gary Small, MD. He is the director of the UCLA Longevity Center. Dr. Small, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You've got a brand new book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program to Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life, huh?
I'm adamant about this. I've been studying Alzheimer's for decades, and I've realized that it's not all about our genetics. In fact, the studies show that for the average person, genetics, what you inherit from your parents, accounts for only a third of what determines your brain health as you age. That means, if I do the math, two-thirds is left to non-genetic factors. And there's a tremendous amount of new science about those factors, lifestyle choices we make every day that have a major impact on how long and how well we live and how our brains do while we're living.
Dr. Small, what exactly is Alzheimer's?
And basically, it was described in 1906 by Professor Alzheimer in a woman who was in her 50s. And when she died, she had these tiny little protein deposits, abnormal amyloid plaques and tau tangles in parts of her brain that control brain health. Now, she was quite confused and what we call demented, out of touch with reality. And so doctors didn't think much about it. But years later, they saw that people who had so-called senility had the same plaques and tangles. So we had this epidemic of late-onset Alzheimer's disease, and that forced scientists to try to understand this, to look for treatments and better ways to diagnose it. So it's essentially a collection of these abnormal protein deposits in the brain. It causes gradual decline in mental abilities to the point where people can't take care of each other. Age is the greatest risk factor for it. If you're 65 or older, you have a 10% risk. If you're 85 or older, the risk can be almost 50%.
So with the book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, you can increase the odds even up to, what, 100, 125? I think we'll be at 150 soon.
Well, that I don't know. But I do know that the science tells us that if you exercise your body, exercise your mind, manage stress better, and learn to compensate for age-related memory decline, that you may not be able to cure this problem, but you have a good chance of delaying the onset of symptoms. For many people, that can be 3, 4, or more years. And if you die of natural causes, that could be preventing it in your lifetime.
I've heard of plaques, kind of a sticky thing, I guess, in the brain. I'm not aware of the tangles. What are those?
So they're similar in that they're both abnormal protein deposits. And the difference is that tangles are inside the cell, plaques are outside the cell. And interestingly, what you see inside the plaques are evidence of inflammation, little cells that are inflammatory cells. And we think that we're not sure that the plaques and tangles are actually causing the disease, but may be remnants of a problem going on. I think that inflammation is involved. And I talk about this in the book, how inflammation is a normal physical process. If you sprain an ankle or you get an infection, your inflammatory cells clean up the debris, fight off the infectious agent, and they repair the tissue. A problem with aging is that our inflammatory system kind of ratchets up, and there's too much of it. So these inflammatory cells attack normal cells. If you look inside that Alzheimer brain, you can see evidence of inflammation. And many of the Alzheimer prevention strategies are actually anti-inflammatory strategies. Getting a good night's sleep, getting some physical aerobic conditioning, eating omega-3 fats from fish and nuts.
All right, so you know what? I think you said 1906 is when Dr. Alzheimer's discovered this.
Right.
How prevalent was it back then, and has it really increased today, and could that be due to more stresses, maybe the foods that we have today?
So we don't know the actual prevalence of it. In 1906, no one did those studies. We know that it's becoming more and more prevalent, and the reason is we're living longer, age being the greatest risk factor for developing the disease. And the projection is that we're going to triple the numbers by 2050. Today, we have about 5.5 million people with Alzheimer's in the U.S. Now, could it be more than just age? Are there things in the environment that are causing a problem? I think one problem is overweight and obesity. That's a global problem everywhere. And we know that if you're overweight or obese, that increases your risk for Alzheimer's. The good news is, if you lose weight, it actually improves your memory and other mental functions. So the brain can right itself if we treat it right.
You mentioned inflammation. Turmeric, I believe, has kind of a chemical in it that helps out the inflammation. So good foods could help?
Well, yeah. I think that any antioxidant food, any anti-inflammatory food like turmeric would be helpful. We're testing curcumin, which is a form of turmeric, in a study at UCLA. And in fact, the book has a whole section on supplements and vitamins because people are so interested in it. And we really want to test these things out to see if they work. You know, it's a good idea to take a multivitamin every day, probably a fish oil capsule because it'll help your mood and your thinking. But some of the other things that people take may not be doing any more than what a placebo does. You mentioned turmeric. An interesting thing is that in India, where they eat more curried foods, there's a lower rate of Alzheimer's. But we think turmeric or curcumin as a supplement may be a safer way to protect the brain than, say, taking anti-inflammatory medicines. We did a study using anti-inflammatory medicines in middle-aged people, and we found it helped memory and brain function, but we don't have enough evidence to recommend it for everyone because of the side effects.
Seems like here in this country, we do have an epidemic. How about other countries? India, you mentioned, not so much. How about other countries?
Well, you see it, you really see it everywhere. I mean, in India, certainly the population is younger, but there's a lot more people. So you do have quite a number of people with Alzheimer's, even though it's a lower rate than here. And it is an international problem. But some scientists have studied differences in rates of dementia or Alzheimer's in different parts of the world. One interesting study compared African Americans in Indianapolis to Nigerians. And they found that there was less dementia in the Nigerians. And they thought one of the reasons was that they had a different lifestyle. They had a simpler diet. They weren't eating all the fast foods and the French fries, and they were more physically active.
So, I mean, exercise apparently does a lot. Out looking for your own food, I suppose, too, keeps you active, keeps that brain going, because you have to know what you're looking for. With the Alzheimer's Prevention Program, kind of explain how this is laid out and how this is going to help even me.
So we were motivated to write the book. I wrote it with my wife, Gigi, and she. If it weren't for her, she's the writer. If it weren't for her, the book would have a format, introduction, methods, results, and discussion, like a scientific paper. But thanks to Gigi, she makes the information accessible. And we were motivated to write this book because there's so much new research on Alzheimer's, and it's confusing for people. One day we're saying, take vitamin E. The next day we're saying, don't take it. And so thanks to Gigi, we're able to make the information accessible to a wide audience. We made it very clear the connection between lifestyle and brain health, because that motivates people to do something. And then we include a 7-day program to jumpstart your brain health. And it details exercises, diet, and it builds up over the week. And people see how easy it is and doesn't take that much time. And there are assessment tools in the book so they can note their progress. That way, it's like going on a diet and losing a couple pounds. It motivates you. And that's the whole purpose of it, to get people involved, to draw them in, to motivate them to get started, because 1 week is not going to be enough to change your brain. You have to develop brain-healthy habits for the long haul.
You know, in your book, one of the questions would be something like, do you lose your glasses quite often, or your keys? Do you forget where you put these? Here, I'm always running around, so I don't know which room sometimes I left them at. Is that a concern if I am kind of maybe a few times a day forgetting where I put my glasses with all the rooms that I have?
So, you know, the old story is forgetting where you put your glasses is not a problem. Forgetting how you use your glasses is maybe more of a problem. And in reality, we all suffer from these memory complaints. And the top four are names and faces, where you put things, remembering to remember, making sure you don't run out of the house without your cell phone. And then finally, the tip of the tongue phenomenon, where you're sure you know something, it just doesn't roll off the tip of the tongue. Now, these things bother me. So I've been very motivated to invent strategies to fix them. And actually, in the book, for the first time in any book, we have effective strategies for all four of those most common memory techniques. And we've tested them out. They really work. And I can tell you, I'm not misplacing my glasses as much, and things are rolling off my tongue a lot faster.
All right. Now, we have a group maybe that has maybe a father, maybe a grandmother that has Alzheimer's or maybe had Alzheimer's. We have another group maybe that don't really have that in their family. And maybe another group of twins where maybe one has a little Alzheimer's, maybe the other one doesn't. Is that possible, or should maybe a couple groups be worried? Maybe one group shouldn't.
Well, first I say don't worry, because if you worry about your memory will be worse. I mean, the key of the question behind the question is, let's understand what the genetic and familial risk is for this. Let's start with the twins. We've studied twins, and sometimes even in identical twins, one gets Alzheimer's and the other doesn't. What's the difference? Lifestyle. The twin who gets it smokes, drinks, doesn't exercise, and doesn't eat right. What about families? Well, there are rare families where 50% of relatives get the disease, and usually at a young age. And those families, there's actually a genetic mutation that causes the disease. So you can get genetic counseling, get genetically tested for that. That's less than 1% of the population. For the average person, there's a genetic risk called APOE4. About 1 out of 5 people have that risk. But it's not enough to guarantee you're going to get the disease. So we don't recommend people get testing for that. If you have a parent or a sibling with Alzheimer's, that doubles your risk. But also, the risk will probably be at the same age when the person got it. So if you have a parent who got Alzheimer's in his 90s and you're in your 40s and you're misplacing your keys, it's not something to worry about.
So when does all this start? I mean, you mentioned 40s, you mentioned younger age. About what age should I be concerned about?
Well, I think that any age is a good time to get started on the Alzheimer's prevention program. Now, most people are not motivated until they're in their 40s, when they start noticing memory issues. And in fact, we can measure those changes. The average 45-year-old has memory ability that's worse than when they were in their 20s. So that's usually when people get started, especially if they have a family history, they're interested in doing something. And what is so rewarding for me is when people read the book and they've tried the program, I get great feedback. The wonderful thing is they start feeling better right away. And in the future, there's a good chance they'll delay onset of symptoms down the road.
Why the book? I mean, how did this book come about?
This is actually our 6th book together. And I love writing with my wife, because that's a form of mental exercise and creativity for us. And it came about because we decided to find a new publisher. We had not been happy with the publisher we were with. And our agent called Workman Publishing, and Bob Miller said, "Oh, I'd love to have Gigi and Gary, but I want them to write this book." So he had the idea for it, and we thought it was a tremendous idea. And it fit well with what I've been doing. I've spent 30 years at UCLA taking care of patients, studying Alzheimer's disease. I've invented new brain scanning technologies. We invented the first brain scanning method to see those plaques and tangles in living people for the first time. So, you know, it's really something that came together. It was a team effort with the publisher, with my wife, and we had a lot of input, and we're really proud of how it turned out.
You were talking about a way where you can kind of test to see if you're improving your brain function. You have that in your book, in a sense.
See, we have a series of questionnaires so you can see where you are in terms of your stress level at baseline. What's your physical activity level like? What about your diet? And also your memory. And we assess both objective memory and subjective memory. So how you perceive your memory ability and how you actually perform on a pencil and paper test. And so you do that at baseline. Then you learn about the program. You learn the methods. And then you take the assessments the second time. And most people will do better and they'll feel better. And it's important to assess not just objective performance on memory, but subjective, because you really need to feel empowered that you're doing better.
In your book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, you have a list of about maybe 10 words that you want people to look at for about a minute, go away for about 10 minutes, do other things, or continue reading the book, in a sense, and then come back, write them down, see how many you get. You could only about do that once, couldn't you?
Well, I mean, you can find another list of words. So, and the purpose of that, it's actually the tests we have in the book are adapted from the research tools we use in the clinic. And that's a very common test of what we call delayed recall, a very sensitive measure of age-related memory decline. And what we're doing here is kind of showing people how easy it is to improve your memory. And after that, we teach our basic memory technique, look, snap, connect. I'm not going to give away the whole book, but I'll let people get a sense of how easy and fun it is. So look as a reminder to focus attention. The biggest reason we don't remember is we're simply distracted. Snap is a reminder to create a mental snapshot of what you want to remember. Our brains are actually hardwired to remember visually. And finally, connect is a way of linking together those mental snapshots to make them meaningful. If it's meaningful, it will be memorable. So, I mean, you can use this in very practical ways. Let's say I'm running out of the house and I've got three errands. I can't write them down. And I've got to get eggs, stamps, and pick up my shoes at the shoe store. So what I use look, snap, connect. I see a big egg in my hand with a stamp on it, and the egg slips out of my hand and crashes on my shoe, and there's egg yolk all over my shoe. So it's got movement. It's a little bit disturbing emotionally to see your shoe all messed up like that, but it's very memorable, and I'll remember my errands.
Well, that's what I was pretty much doing with these 10 words. I was putting them together almost in a sentence. Mm-hmm. For about 30 seconds. I didn't take the whole minute, but just very quickly doing that. Got 7 out of the 10.
Well, that's quite good.
That's not bad.
So were you actually visualizing them, or you were just kind of coming up with your own?
Yeah,
center?
Pretty much. I mean, I won't give the words away, because when somebody gets the book, right, the words should be theirs. But, pretty much the same way. If you had the egg, the shoe, the stamp, you know.
So to create a story linking them together. And, you know, you can do this simple things like finding your car in a parking lot. At UCLA, we have lot 3B, and I see three large bees hovering over my car. If I'm parking below that in lot 2B, I see William Shakespeare reciting "To Be or Not to Be."
So that's what I saw.
So you can have a lot of fun with it. Your first associations work best. We adapt it for names and faces. So if you meet, I talk in the book about Grandma Ollie. And one way to remember her is thinking, oh, she has olive-colored skin, Ollie Olive. And you can kind of connect the name and face with those kinds of associations.
Dr. Small, tell us a little bit about the Memory Bible. I know I saw this thing on my parents' bookshelf, mm-hmm, and I don't go there a whole lot, didn't have a chance to open it, but give me a little bit on that, if you would.
The Memory Bible takes a similar approach, talking about lifestyle, how it improves your memory, teaches memory techniques, and has brain games. The focus of the Memory Bible is really more about boosting your memory rather than delaying the onset of Alzheimer's. And it's been a New York Times bestseller, and people really enjoy it, and it's been in many printings. And what's different, I think, very much about the Alzheimer's Prevention Program is people's concern about Alzheimer's disease and all the new research. Memory Bible was written over a decade ago, and there's so much more we've learned since then that's in the new book.
You mentioned that it's going to increase your memory, but not necessarily hold back on the Alzheimer's. But if you're increasing your memory, doesn't that help?
It does. Well, it actually compensates for things. I mean, Alzheimer's is really building up in people's brains years, decades before they have symptoms. So if you get out and you get 20 minutes of brisk exercise a day, if you're eating the Alzheimer prevention diet, if you're managing your stress, all that is going to protect your brain health. And by our calculation, that could delay the symptoms by 3, 4 or more years. At the same time, whatever's happening in your brain, it's eroding your memory skills. And so you're learning these simple techniques that really empower you and compensate. So the package is a very effective one that changes people's lives.
Dr. Small, you know, if I change my diet, if I change my exercise routine, if I'm taking my vitamins and stuff, can I still maybe get away with maybe a little smoking, a little drinking?
Nobody's perfect. You know, I think that probably guilt is bad for your brain health. And we try to emphasize that there's several ways of doing the program. You don't have to do everything. And you do the best you can. And in fact, if you have an issue, first of all, drinking in moderation is actually associated with better brain health. Maybe something in the alcohol. It may be that you're just more laid back if you do that and less stressed out. The smoking is not going to be good for your brain. But you know, a basic principle I learned in medicine is don't try to do everything all at once. You know, so if you're trying to stop drinking, maybe smoking for a while is okay, and then you can deal with the smoking at a later date.
My thinking is that if the alcohol kills brain cells, it kills the weakest one, so you have to have a better brain.
Well, you can probably have a rationalization for doing everything. You know, the chocolate is antioxidant, so that can help your brain. But again, the key is moderation.
Well, that's nice to know. I'm looking at the Alzheimer's prevention program. You know, I can change a few things and help a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, then I can take baby steps for the rest of it.
That's exactly the approach. And we talk about examples from my own practice. You know, for example, there was a 62-year-old executive who came in, and he had a terrible diet. He wasn't smoking, but he wasn't exercising. And I finally convinced him to start exercising. So he got into it. He was doing 30 minutes a day of brisk walking. And by our calculations, if he keeps that up, that would be an additional 2 dementia-free years just by the studies. Well, that got him motivated. And so he started walking with a friend. And so he's less stressed out. He's talking about things. He starts improving his diet, and he starts doing brain games. I think to annoy me, he started doing the New York Times Friday puzzle in ink. But that's fine if that works for him. But if you add up everything, then he might have 4 dementia-free years. So again, it's that idea of start with something, you'll start feeling better. If you start just doing physical exercise, that's probably the most important thing anybody can do. It will get your brain more nutrients, more oxygen, and actually the brain cells will sprout branches and they'll talk to each other better.
Dr. Small, talk to me a little bit about the Longevity Center. What is that?
So the UCLA Longevity Center is a center I've been directing for more than 15 years. And our motto is living better longer. And we have a lot of educational programs, research programs to achieve that goal. One of the things we do that reaches beyond UCLA is that we have licensed around the country memory training and lifestyle programs. So they're in assisted living facilities, senior living centers, libraries, community hospitals. Right now, our programs are in 14 states and 50 different sites. And they use the books that I've written to help guide the students. Many of these programs are taught by lay volunteers. And we're very proud of the work we do and our outreach and helping other people.
Do you and your wife, Gigi, get out much together promoting this book?
I do most of the promoting. Sometimes she'll come with me on the book tours. I mean, she came with me to New York, and we have a tradition there. We, you know, I usually give a talk at the 92nd Street Y, and some of our old friends come, and we have a dinner there, and it's nice when she joins me. I like to travel with my wife. It makes it more fun. But I also like getting out and meeting people who've been reading the book, who respond to my talks about the book. It's very gratifying to see the impact I've had on people's lives.
Is it ever too late?
I always say it's never too late. In fact, in my practice, I see people who we call the worried well with very minor memory complaints and people with dementia. And when the families bring in patients who have dementia or already have problems, we'll use a medical approach. We'll start them on medicines, but we'll adapt the Alzheimer prevention strategies to help their lives. Make sure their diet is right. Get them walking with their family. Get them more interactive. And the key to the mental stimulation is to train and not strain the brain. So you find activities that are challenging and fun, but not too difficult and not too easy. I like to talk about the triple threat to Alzheimer's disease. It's very simple. Take a walk with a friend. You're going to get cardiovascular conditioning, which will boost your brain cell health. You're going to talk to your friend, and that'll be a mental exercise, having a conversation. And then if you talk about your feelings, that'll lower your stress level.
If I want more information on the Alzheimer's Prevention Program, if I want more information maybe on the other books, such as the Memory Bible, you have a website I could go to?
Please visit me at drgarysmall.com, drgarysmall.com. And you can keep tabs of my lectures and learn about the other books and have some fun.
All right. We've been talking with Gary Small, MD. He's got his brand new book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, How to Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life. I know with reading this, it's going to help me, hopefully tremendously. And, of course, all those vitamins I've been taking, not too bad of a thing either. Dr. Small, thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Been listening to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Gary Small, MD, author of his brand new book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.